Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Speaking of logging on to the Computer Corner, you can do that online, of course, at datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section, and you'll see all the resources for all the things we're talking about today. We're talking about tax season.
You know what? I want to touch on the fact that the BlackBerry saga finally settled itself yesterday.
Yeah.
For everybody that has one, of course, they already know, and everybody that doesn't have one probably could care less.
A sigh of relief.
But, you know, analyzing the entrails of this whole thing, it was always about money.
Yeah.
And the settlement was $612.5 million or something. You're thinking, well, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
They have just under 5 million subscribers. So I did the math on that. It's about $122 per subscriber is what the settlement was.
I wonder if subscribers will see that over the long haul.
Well, it'll represent. Well, actually,
if they'll feel that.
If you look at their filings, about 70% of their revenue comes from the actual sale of those items, those devices.
Right.
Read that $300 or $400 you're paying is like hugely marked up.
Right.
So they have $1.8 billion in cash.
Not anymore.
No, they do.
Now, after half of it's taken away for this.
$1.8 billion. That's
all right.
Four times as
and
much.
And 600 as million.
Three times.
Math and,
they put $435 million into escrow way back when they thought that that was going to be the settlement on this thing. So this whole thing and all of this nauseation of people going, am I going to lose my BlackBerry and, you know, well, crackberries they call them.
Crackberry. I need my crackberry.
Was over a measly $120
million. $120
million. That was the difference between the settlement and what they actually
settled. The speculation is that the company that actually started the lawsuit, that they knew that there was an infringement long, long ago, but the BlackBerry wasn't that popular of a device yet, and they knew that if they just waited and waited and waited until it became CrackBerry, where people had to have it, and they had a huge subscriber base, that they'd be able to just cash in, and it's pretty good pay for, you know, just sitting on your heels and hanging out and waiting and ready to pounce
when the time is ripe. Nice gong business tip there, huh?
Did you say nice gong business?
Gong.
Huh?
Patent holder should wait till infringement very large.
Yeah.
Should we go back
to
the
phone? Oh, by the way, let me step on you again.
If you must.
There was a guy, I think his name was Jim, who had called up during the break, but he didn't hold through the break because he was just interested in knowing. I have a monitor, and I know you guys have talked about places where I can get rid of used electronics and equipment and things like that.
Yes.
And he wanted to know where, and so I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay.
Do you want to know the answer?
Sure.
He can take it by any of the Phoenix area data doctors locations. I think there's 23 of them here in the Phoenix metropolitan area, so he could take it by any of them anytime.
Yeah, that's anybody out there, any kind of stuff that you want to make sure. First of all, do not put this stuff in the dumpsters.
No, bad,
toxic
evil.
Toxic waste.
Not
bad.
Good. Plus, waste.
Hug a tree, donate a computer, okay?
And let me just add to that. Our stores can't handle your entire U-Haul load of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you got your personal computer, your printer, whatever, that's fine.
And little stuff, yeah.
If you've got a whole load of stuff, call up one of our stores. We can help put you in touch with the folks that actually are taking this at the end. Or if you want, azstrut.org. That's the name of the place, that the hands of where this stuff's going to end up if you take it to us.
Arizona,
so you can just take it straight to them. And if you contact them, they'll let you know how to do that.
Students Recycling Used Technology. They get college and high school credits for performing this task. And then the working components are all sent to charities around the valley. And the stuff that's no good all gets sent to a recycler, so it gets pulverized and recycled properly. So it's a great program. We're honored to be part of this. It's about our ninth year working with this group. And there will be another annual event here coming up, so stay tuned for that as well. So in the meantime, if you have something small you want to get it out of your garage, please, before it becomes useless, donate it. Any of the Data Doctors locations, you can put your zip code in at our website, and the store locator will show you the closest 5 or 10. Back to the phones?
Back to the phones we shall, with Tom, I think, who's next up here on the Computer Corner. Tom, welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. You've got a Sony with a security question?
Yeah. How do, on the security, how do you know when you're going to get a keylogger in, or how can you tell if you got a keylogger in?
Well, let's kind of step back and talk about what a keylogger is first, just so that everybody's clear on it. A keylogger is a program that's generally, in most cases, a silent program. It's completely invisible to the user. And what it's doing is just making a what's called a log file, a real simple little text file that basically tracks every single keystroke that's made. And depending upon the malicious intent of the user, that log file can then get silently emailed to some remote computers anywhere in the world. And the idea behind that is there are legitimate uses for keyloggers. A lot of parents are using keyloggers to track what their kids are saying and doing on the Internet. And then, of course, there are people that are trying to goat you into installing something, or if your computer is not up to snuff with all of its latest Windows updates,
okay,
they can take advantage of exploits simply by you visiting a particular website. They can actually install a keylogger in the background without you knowing it. So the only way you're going to know that you have one is to specifically go on the hunt for it. Most of today's spyware programs and antivirus programs are specifically looking for the known keylogger exploits that are out there.
Oh, okay.
Okay? You can also look in your ad remove programs just to make sure something real obvious has not been installed, because it's not just some malicious guy somewhere on the Internet sending something. And if somebody had access to your computer and had enough time to actually install a program, depending upon how they installed it, it may appear in your ad remove programs.
There are people out there, like maybe suspicious spouses sometimes, that'll do this kind of thing. They'll get a program and install it. Like Ken was saying, you can monitor your kids with it. So there are a variety of ways you can get it on your machine. But the best bet is to use something out there. And we have a list of software. If you go to our website, datadoctors.com, click on where it says approved software. That's our kind of recommended list of good stuff, and then down below, bad stuff.
Okay, I've been there.
There's a section there that talks all about spyware and adware.
Okay.
And there's different programs there depending on your level of expertise and whether or not you want something that you're going to pay for that you keep on an ongoing basis or an on-demand basis, those kinds of things. But any of those would find any of the anything that's out there that's known as far as a keylogger that's on the Internet today.
If okay. if you're fairly technical, I actually wrote a column, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, that talked about how do I detect keyloggers. And there's a very technical, there's a free download that you can install called KL Detector that basically monitors your computer to see if a certain type of file is being created kind of silently in the background.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you know, how far into this you want to go is really, you know, dependent on your technical expertise and your comfort with it.
If we brought one of them into your shop and have you go through it, could you put one of them on there?
Well, you probably already have the software you need to be able to check.
Oh, okay.
So you just need to make sure that it's updated and that you're checking all of those things. So check out all the resources we have in our free help center.
Okay.
The column that I'm referring to was the column I wrote on December 23rd, as a matter of fact.
December 23rd, all right.
If you look in the weekly columns, you can click on a link that says show me all the columns. Look for December 23rd. It says how do I detect keyloggers.
Okay.
It was ready-made. It was a column I wrote just for you, Tom.
Hey, that's what we need. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good
Have
luck
good
with
day.
That. Take care. And again, folks, it's really about the reason we bring up this keylogger issue is because if you have one and you do your taxes, obviously, dun-dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun-dun?
Yeah, you need to. You
is
need
that
to
a good dun-dun-dun-dun?
No.
Bad.
Well, it's good for the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
And see, understand, it's not about these little nerdy, introverted, young, intelligent men that are just, you know, that have no life.
We call those guys punks.
Punks.
Right.
So, well, they call them script kiddies, and there's a billion different explanations for this profile. The problem in this day and age with identity theft and keyloggers, organized crime units around the world are targeting U.S. citizens because, let's face it, we're the wealthiest nation in the world, and we're also the most Internet savvy. And we live and die with our credit, and so we're the perfect target, and they can reach out and try to touch us from Russia, from Bulgaria, from, they just broke up a big ring in South America. And all they have to do is somehow infiltrate your computer with one of these keyloggers, and then they can gather all the information they need to exploit your identity and go out and get after you. So that's why we're really want to give everybody the cautious kind of mindset before you start doing your taxes. Just take this extra step to make sure you're clean before you start typing in this super critical, super personal information.
Not a tough thing to do. Doesn't take a lot of time, and it's something you ought to be doing
anyway.
It's like wearing a seatbelt and having airbags in your car. You do those things, and you also make sure that you keep your eyes open while you're driving and your hands on the steering wheel and things like that. So it's just simple rules of the road.
That's what I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I know. Eyes open, Ken. Eyes open.
For sure. To the phones or to any of this?
It's we're break running time. Up close to a break time, so I'm going to let you pick.
Why don't we do our Geek Speak of the Week?
Let's do that.
Every week we try to bring you a little extra vernacular of the tech world so that you can sound very hip and up to speed at the next
geeky
cocktail party. Or church social, if that's more your speed. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is Sneezer.
Sneezer?
Sneezer.
What about the dance at the, down at the community center?
Sure, that works.
Ice Cream Social? If that's the place where I'm going to go to do my...
If that works for you.
Conversing?
So when it comes to Sneezer, we've all heard of word-of-mouth advertising and marketing, and most of us have heard of this new term, viral marketing, that's using the internet and email to spread an idea like a virus. It kind of, send it to everybody.
But it's not a bad thing. It's like a, hey, did you hear?
So from that viral marketing comes the term Sneezer.
Hachoo!
Yes.
Bless you.
A Sneezer is a person who by nature tends to spread ideas more than others. People who forward jokes or actually pass an email on to everyone they know because it says to pass it on to everyone they know. They're called sneezers, because you think about viral marketing.
Achoo! You just spread the germ.
Now, reporters and the media have always been, by definition, sneezers, but the internet now allows anyone to be a sneezer.
By doing this very radio show, we are, in fact...
We are sneezers.
We are sneezers.
Good sneezers.
Of knowledge and information out to all y'all.
That guy that keeps sending you that joke from 1963?
Bad sneezer.
He's a bad sneezer.
Bad.
The one that sends you the hoax that's not real.
Hey, if you have the little thing that looks like a picture of a teddy bear on your computer,
right?
It's real bad.
And destroy it.
And destroy it, yeah. And delete it, no. Even though it's a file that you need that was installed by Windows purposely.
Yeah, hoaxbusters.org, for those of you that need a resource to really understand, is this real or is it not? Before you forward it to everyone you know, check it out. You have a responsibility on the internet now because you're a sneezer. If you just send it out, and especially if you don't check to make sure that the stuff you're sending out is clear and opaque.
Right. And not, legit.
And not that...
And if you forget the hoaxbusters.org thing, Google, take the first sentence of whatever it is that says to forward it on to everybody you know, cut and paste it into Google.
For sure.
You'll find it very quickly. And it'll probably be a link to hoaxbusters.org right. And
nine times
their actual... deal.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Tyler and Rick and Brand and Mike and Mike and whoever else wants to hold there. It's Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney, the Data Doctors, back after this.
Hachoo!
The heart of a champion.
And a little